Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our producer and engineer, the Fantastico, Mr. Aaron Sommers. It is Wednesday, August 16th, 2023. It is Hump Day, baby, here at Civic.
Hump Day!
Fantastic. Geico Camel kicks us off in hour number two. Great to have Trigvi Olsen along with us today. We appreciate him making the Zoom appearance or StreamYard appearance all the way from Latvia. He will be here in person next Wednesday in Milwaukee as we're going to have a special broadcast of this show live from Whitetail, Milwaukee, a great place to grab a beverage when you're down that way in the Deer District, just across the street from Fiserv Forum, where all this is going to be taking place. We are going to be set up in our Civic Media headquarters on location at Whitetail, Milwaukee. Going to start off with Kristen Bry and Jane Matinere and As Goes Wisconsin at 10. Then Town Call with Will and Luke at 12:15. Our show then. And then Matt Flynn of Matt Flynn Direct at 3 o'clock is going to originate from there as well. That will lead right into the Devil's Advocates with Crudy and Dom from 4 until 6. And then we will kick off our pregame show calling it Wisconsin Decides 2024. The Road to the White House starts here. From 6 until 8. That will lead you right up until the debate. Now, we can't carry the debate live because other places have those rights. But we can, in fact, go right up and do it. And we're going to give you the idea here, because Trigvi has worked on Republican campaigns, presidential campaigns. Rick Wilson has. Stuart Stevens has. Also, we've confirmed that Bill McCosian, the great Bill McCosian, who was longtime chief of staff for Republican Wisconsin Governor Tommy Thompson, as well as Wisconsin Commerce Secretary. Great guy, insightful guy about Wisconsin politics. He's going to be joining us on our pregame show, as well as Professor Charles Franklin, who heads up the Marquette Law School poll, a respected poll not just in Wisconsin, but around the country. Kristen Bry will be joining me in anchoring the two-hour pregame show, so don't miss it next week on Wednesday, 6 until 8, leading up to the Republican debate in Milwaukee.
Certainly an excellent panel of guests, and we've had most of those people together in one broadcast before a few times, like with Donald Trump's first indictment, and a lot of minds that are very in touch with the different aspects of things that are going on.
Right, absolutely. And I should add that Mr. Zommers has been so kind as to be our engineer and producer for the night here at the Civic World Headquarters. Luke Mathers will be in the Civic Headquarters as well. So it's a team effort as well as our fine engineer crew. So we appreciate everyone for agreeing to be part of that next Wednesday. But you're right. I mean, and we're also going to give a Democratic perspective of this as well. Kind of preview what's going to happen in Wisconsin in 2024. Of course, the big race, U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin has announced she is running for re-election. So far, no major Republican candidates have come out against her. We'll be talking about the Democratic perspective in 2024 as well. And to break it down and tell you, based on these people that have been in these rooms leading up to the, and Trigvi hit on it last hour, they basically kind of decide amongst themselves, amongst the campaigns, well, okay, your person is going to go after this person, and our person is going to go after this person. So it isn't like they walk out on stage and it's all spontaneous. They kind of practice some of this stuff. I think that's insightful, right? Before you watch the debate. So looking forward to that next Wednesday. Coming up at 2:30 on this program, our friend, longtime Onion writer, contributor from the Onion, Joe Garden, and Richland County native, along with myself, will be joining us here on the show, talk about what's popping out in New York. Also talk a little segment we call Joe's Junk, what he has for sale out there. And we'll be asking Joe, what did Todd miss? What should I have seen when I was out in New York City? That's coming up at 2:30. But before that, I want to take your calls, get your opinion on, and again, I wanted to talk more in political terms yesterday, but out of respect for our military folks, I did not want to do it on a military base. But we got a real answer yesterday from General May, Brigadier General David May, the commander of the Wisconsin Air National Guard, talking about how this hostage situation, I'll call it that. He didn't call it that. I'll call it that. This hostage situation by Republican Alabama U.S. Senator Tommy Tuberville. Tommy Tuberville, of course, a longtime college football coach at the University of Auburn in Alabama, holding up these military appointments. And I want to get your take on this. Are you sick and tired of politics being used in the military? Is the military the one place that we should put aside politics? 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Is the military the one place in our government that we should put aside partisan politics and be on the same page? 844-967-2789. You could also get a hold of this via the Civic Media app. You can download it on either your Apple or Android device. Send us a text there. You can also text us at YouTube, Facebook, Twitter. Mr. Zommer's young brain is on top of all of that. He monitors it for us, and we'll bring you those comments as well. Because this Tommy Tuberville guy, get this. Talk about a carpetbagger. Tommy Tuberville reportedly no longer owns any properties in Alabama and lives in a beach house in the Florida Panhandle. I'm not making this up.
Are you shocked? I'm not.
All right. We'll talk about it on the other side. Take your phone calls as well. 844-967-2789. Don't go anywhere. This is the Todd Elbol Show. And this is the Civic Media Radio Network. Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Elbol Show at the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 15 past the hour of 2 o'clock. Mr. Aaron Zommer is our producer engineer on the board. Do you think the military, the United States military, that I'll guess that almost everybody either has a family member who has or had served or is currently serving, or a friend, you know somebody who has served or is serving in the United States military. Is the U.S. military the one place in federal government that we should get rid of politics and not be partisan? 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789.
I think that having a military is inherently political on a global sense, but it absolutely should not be partisan. It shouldn't be American politics. It should be global politics. Like, how much of a force do we need to maintain? What do we need in order to stay ready? Things like that, as opposed to, oh, I don't like what you're doing. That has nothing to do with the military. So, or has little to do with the military. So I'm just going to stop them from functioning. How about that?
But you're saying that you should put global issues ahead of American interests in the military? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I'm saying American interests relative to the rest of the world.
Got it.
How we determine what we need.
Yeah. Because I think the United States military is one of the finest organizations in the world. But the primary mission of the military is to defend and deter, right? To defend the country against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and also to deter any sort form of an attack. And I don't care whether it's been a Republican or a Democratic president in the White House, almost always, anytime our men and women in the United States military are deployed, it is done with thoughtfulness, or at least it sure as hell should be. Because their real lives, when a commander-in-chief puts our military in harm's way, you are saying that the interests of the country are worthy of sacrificing American lives. And the men and women who take that oath to serve know that. And they understand that. And they will willingly put their lives at risk for the rest of us who do not serve to protect this country, to protect democracy, to protect freedom. But it should be, in my opinion, the one area where our congressmen and women, our senators, put partisanship aside and do what's best for the men and women who put on the uniform. What do you think? 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. And this is very different. What do you understand? This is very different than, well, should we deploy our military at place X, Y, or Z? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about supporting the men and women in uniform, period. Not the places they get deployed to or the reasons they get deployed, but simply the men and women of our military. From the YouTube line, Tony from the YouTube says, John Huntsman and Pete Buttigieg have both talked about you don't sign up to serve based off of who the president is. The military is above that. And you're absolutely right. Both those people have served in the U.S. military with distinction. One a Republican, one a Democrat.
Now, I will say that there are some exceptions to that in my mind, such as if Donald Trump is president, I personally find him so reckless, vindictive, and incapable of leadership that I would not join the military while he's president because I'd probably get deployed to a toilet.
Well, I mean, but that's that you've hit on what Tony is just saying there, that even people who are in the military, while someone like Trump is president, he is still the commander-in-chief and he is still the head of the military, whether you like it or not. And sure, it may deter you personally from signing up. I mean, I certainly wouldn't want to serve under Donald Trump. But again, in talking to the men and women at Volk Field yesterday, I asked questions off the record. I'm not going to repeat things they specifically said. But in general, I was just so amazed, I guess, in today's era, and also so buoyed, inspired. That's the word I'm looking for. I was inspired because they said, you know, it doesn't matter who the president is. We're here to serve the country.
Yes.
We're here to serve America.
And yeah, overall, I agree. I think basically anybody besides Donald Trump, I would say, yeah, we're all here to serve America because normally the president of the United States is there to serve America, not themselves.
Right. Trump is the exception.
Yeah. He's Trump like my one exception.
Right. And you want a commander-in-chief who you can admire. And who you can respect, certainly, if you're in the military. But the story we're talking about, and again, feel free to call in. Should the military be the one place that we do not have politics? 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Republican Senator, U.S. Senator Tommy Tuberville, Alabama. Pardon me. Reportedly, no longer owns property in Alabama and lives in a beach house on the Florida panhandle. The Washington Post reported that it found that for nearly two decades, Tuberville has been residing in a $3 million, 4,000 square foot beach house in Santa Rosa Beach, Florida. The Constitution of the United States requires that anyone running for Congress must be an inhabitant of the state they represent at the time they take office. On the face of it, Tuberville is a carpetbagger and should lose his Senate seat. Yet many predict Tuberville may get away with it. Now, the framers of the Constitution decided that members of both the House and the Senate would be required only to be, quote unquote, an inhabitant of the state they represent. When it comes to members of the House of Representatives, they don't even need to live in the specific district, just their home state. I didn't know that. Back in 2017, the Washington Post found that 5% of all House members don't live in the district they represent. 5%. But Tuberville doesn't even meet the constitutional minimum of state residency. So how do you get away with it? Courts and congressional committees have looked into similar violations in the past. They've generally opted for a wide interpretation of what is called inhabitancy. I mean, inhabitancy. In some cases, evidence of a member paying taxes or being registered to vote in the state has been deemed sufficient, even when they used an address at which they spent little or no time. It turns out that the residency requirement for state and local politicians are often stronger than for members of Congress. That's why partisan gerrymandering, there's that word, gerrymandering of state legislative districts has many times been used as a weapon to get rid of individual opponents. So there's a big question whether a lawsuit would result in Tuberville losing his seat. And Tuberville, he could be reelected in 2026 if voters in Alabama don't care that for more than two decades he hasn't lived in Alabama. Be quite a contrast, for example, to Wisconsin's last gubernatorial race, in which an appearance of carpetbagging was a significant issue for many voters. Remember that? Tim Michaels had his big mansion out east. Apparently he had some kind of a residence in Wisconsin, but lived out east. Another recent example in Pennsylvania, where voters rejected Republican Senate candidate Mehmet Oz, better known as Dr. Oz, because he came across like a regular Pennsylvanian, or rather he didn't come across like a regular Pennsylvanian, because he resided in, get this, New Jersey. I added the accent. In 2020, Tuberville's Republican primary opponent actually raised the carpetbagging issue. But in Alabama, what Republican voters apparently care about is Tuberville's football win-loss record. And then he's loyal to Trump. How about that? I mean, I just don't know how that would fly in Wisconsin. I mean, thank goodness Wisconsinites rejected a guy like Tim Michaels, who doesn't really spend most of his time here. When I was on city council back in Richland Center in southwest Wisconsin almost 20 years ago now, I was living in my Alder district in Richland Center, and my paternal grandmother passed away, and I had already, through various means, inherited the family farm. So I was spending part of my time at the farm and part of my time at my house in Richland Center. And I thought, well, I probably won't run for re-election when my two-year term is up. But the mayor at the time, I mean, she was a piece of work, Rita. And she came after me with a vengeance and got the city attorney involved and basically said, you have to resign your seat because you also own this other property out in outside of town. Even though I was paying taxes and lived in a residence in Richland Center, I gave up my assemblies or my alderman seat, a little aldermanic seat in a town of 5,000 people. Tommy Tuberville is a United States Senator. What do they call it? The United States Senate, the most exclusive club in the world? And he doesn't even live in Alabama, and yet he is stopping these military nomination process from going on, from the confirmation by the U.S. Senate, and leaving all kinds of positions open, and it is wreaking havoc on our military preparedness across this country, not to mention the personal impact on our military personnel. Should the United States military be the one place we don't play politics? 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. And remember, this is all over because Tuberville is butthurt on this issue of abortion in the military. And also, quite frankly, because the Secretary of Defense won't recognize him, won't give him enough say. Let's go out to Sauk County. Tom in Sauk County, what say you?
Todd?
Yes.
I couldn't remember your phone number, but I remember this mental image. And so I picked up the phone and I dialed TIG, yo, pasty. And sure enough, I got you.
And you got, boom, TIG, yo, pasty, just like that. Fantastic. What say you on this?
Did you ever expect to see the day when Republicans would be bashing our United States military?
No.
It's more than just Tuberville's hostage taking of high-ranking officer promotion. MAGA Republicans are stuffing the National Defense Authorization Act for 2024 with all sorts of culture war battles. I mean, defund the Pentagon? Are you kidding me?
Great point. Great point. No, I never thought I'd see it. It's off the charts. And to do this to our men and women in the military is ridiculous. Tom, I'm sorry we're up against a break. I'm sorry. But stay with us. Joel Garden on the other side. This is the Todd Elbow Show and the Civic Media Radio Network.
You don't need money when you're famous. They give you whatever you want gratis.
Such as
a pair of new shoes with matching laces.
Permanent box at the Sheep's Head races.
Strummy on rye with a sour pickle.
A personal puss on a wooden nickel.
Look at me.
Welcome back to the Todd Elbow Show.
That's
some great music there. Civic Media Radio Network. What did you dial up there, Mr. Zombies?
King of New York from the musical Newsies.
I never heard that. I never seen Newsies. Did you ever see that, Joe?
I never have either, but Newsies is one of those, I think it's one of those cultural things. I think we're maybe a half generation to a generation too old to have gotten into, because I know a lot, I listen to a lot of podcasts where they just talk about Newsies constantly.
Really?
Oh yeah. It's distracting. I actually stopped listening to one because it was a kind of a serious topic and they're like, and they made a Newsies reference. I was like, okay, that's it. Unsubscribe.
Well, with that, we're happy to welcome back our friend and fellow Richland Centerite, Joe Garden. It's been a long time at the Fantastic Onion, which we were talking about, Joe, before we came on the air here. We are now on State Street above State and Fairchild here. And, mm-hmm. of course, the Onion offices, I didn't know that it was located right next to the storied Red Letter News.
It was right across the street from Red Letter.
Oh, right across
and
the street.
For those of your listeners that may be a little bit too young to remember, it was what they call it. It was Red Letter News and Adult Amusement Arcade. I only set foot in there once or twice. Once was when we were trying to find magazines to Photoshop Governor Thompson appointed, or basically the gist of it was like Governor Thompson getting the title of executioner, and so we were trying to find, and I didn't look very hard, and I didn't ask anybody because I was like, I just felt kind of a little bit uneasy.
Right.
You know, I'm not made of as stern of stuff as I'd like to be.
You got a little queasy in the arcade there.
I got a little shaky in the arcade. Yeah. Like, oh, the vapors. Oh my.
But no penicillin required after a visit. You're okay.
Absolutely not. Okay, I got a bleach spray when I left home. As soon as I left.
It's always great to chat with you. And of course, now you're out in beautiful New York. You lived for a time in the city, but now outside the city. I was out there recently with my lovely and talented sister, you know, and we went out there because the occasion is her 50th birthday is coming up in November. And she's a teacher and she can't get away then. So I thought, we'll go out, and we've always wanted to do a brother-sister trip and see a Broadway show together. So we went and saw Kimberly Akimbo, which was fantastic, by the way. Really loved it. But I should have consulted you before we left. So I thought, in my typical way of doing things after the fact, Joe Garden, as a New Yorker now, what are some things that I should have done and seen in New York but probably didn't?
Okay, so this is my advice. And the first thing is that there's a bunch of categories of stuff you can do. There's like stuff you can see, stuff you can watch, stuff you can eat. So as far as stuff you can eat, it's a little pricey, but everybody should go to Katz's Deli and get a pastrami sandwich, because it's where they film that I'll have what she's having.
Oh yeah, same place.
Yes, right. They even have a picture on the wall. This is where she sat, and so, but it's like, I mean, it's worth it's. It lives up to the hype. It's definitely like a delicious. It's a delicious pastrami sandwich. Nice. I'd also recommend always check out the Metropolitan Museum of Art. Mm-hmm. It seems sort of cliche to say that, but it really is like, you know, I've been there. I went there so many times. I used to actually, some friends of mine, Carl Arnheider and Dave Hill, used to do a comedy show called, I can't remember the name of the show, but they would have, there's a deal with the museum where you can sign up as a docent and show people around, but you don't need to have any training at all. You can just say, ah, I'm here to be a docent. And then you can lead a group. And so our group knew what was going on. And it was like, our groups knew what was going on. And we would go and we would do little comedy bits. And so I did it like 3 or 4 times. And the truth of the matter is you can get lost in the Met, easily get lost in the Met. And you can spend an entire day and not even scratch the surface. There's such a great variety of stuff to see. The collections go from like, Colombian, the ancient art to all the way to modern art. And it's fantastic. And I would also recommend if you have a chance to see one of the, like, there's so many great comedy shows that happen in non-comedy club venues. Like there's my friend Marianne does a show called, she is a producer of a show called Butter Boy, and that has hosted by Joe Firestone, which you may have seen on the Joe Pera, any of the Joe Pera shows on Adult Swim. Joe Firestone, Aparna Churla, and Maeve Higgins are the hosts of it, and it's so good. It's such a great, it's a great show. It always has a really good variety, and it's like, you know, I think it's like $5 to $10 to go in. There's no drink minimum. You just like sit there for an hour and watch comedians anywhere from like people you've never heard of and all the way up to like famous like touring comedians that are just like in town for a few days and wanted to just knock a set out somewhere. And I recommend that. It's just like there's always good stuff to do for on the cheap. Except for Stay and Live. If you want to stay and live there, not exactly the cheapest.
I've been to, you know, the first time I went there was when the year we graduated in 1988. I went out with my friend Carrie Anderson out there, and it was the first time I went and talked Garrison Keillor at Radio City Music Hall with her. And I've been back to the city kind of, I guess, 2 or 3 times since then, but it's always been for very specific meetings. So I never really had a lot of time just to hang out, you know, downtown or whatever and in the city. And we're down there in Times Square, and a couple things I noticed. Number one, I mean, it's just neon city. It's just all these screens. And also number two, where's the hookers? I mean, there's no more hookers in New York City anymore. I mean, back in 1988, they were everywhere. And then not that I was looking for any, by the way, but I just noticed that you didn't see as many anymore.
No, they're gone. Like, everybody started complaining that Disney, you know, I think I never...
There's no Disney hookers.
When the Disney store moved in, they sort of swept all the hookers off out of Times Square. And it's funny because it's like, I don't have any reason to go to the Disney store, and I don't really have any reason to go visit hookers. So I'm just like, it didn't really have that appeal. But I would have actually liked to have seen the seedy, you know, Times... I never got a chance to see Times Square at its seediest. I wish I had done that just because... It feels like that's a historic part of New York that I never got.
Back in 1988, you did see, I mean, hookers on almost every corner. I would say, unfortunately, at the time, you also saw a lot more homeless and whatnot. But you also saw a lot of people, particularly men, in suits. And there was almost none of that. We didn't go down to Wall Street. But I mean, does anybody wear a suit in New York City anymore? Or is that just a faux pas?
It's probably not. I mean, I'm sure that they're, you know, in the finance industry, suits are still de rigueur. But by and large, you know, not a whole lot of suits these days. Yeah. I think, I kind of miss it because as somebody who just doesn't look, who looks good in the suit but hates wearing them, I kind of wish I had gotten a chance to get a job that. Unfortunately, when you've worked in comedy, you realize there's not a whole lot of comedy venues, unless you're Stephen Colbert, that require you to wear a suit.
Well, let's talk about your, and Joe really is a renaissance man when it comes to writing and entertainment. He's done all from The Onion to be an author to working on movies. One thing that our friend Chris Pauls wanted me to make sure I asked you about, I did not know that you worked on the movie Big Fan with Patton Oswalt. And yes. can you tell us what that was like? Set it up for us. How did you get the gig, and what did you do there?
Well, Big Fan was directed by my friend and former Onion editor Rob Siegel. It was written and directed by him. It was his first. I think it was the first movie he wrote, and he sort of shopped it around, and nobody was interested, and so he decided to do it himself. And so he reached out to me about 2 weeks before the shoot. apparently, I mean, I think they had somebody in mind, but they fell through. And we had, so I was appearing, he asked if I could be, have a small speaking part as the, as a brother-in-law, as Patton Oswalt's brother-in-law. And I said, yeah, I'd love to do that. That'd be great. And they also, he's like, and can we also use your apartment? Because we need to have a sort of a, I was like, okay, but it's really grimy and it's really, I'm a disordered person. And so I was like, and at the time this house was very,
Jeff Perry. So
Jeff Perry, Disney turns, turned the hookers into cartoon mice, and teapots. So anyway, Jeff, I love you. We have to catch up, but anyway, I was going to say that, you know, so he asked me to do that. We had them in the shoot, and we had three cats at the time. And we're like, well, we'll vacuum. And they're like, no, don't vacuum it out. We're totally fine. We want it to look, it's like kind of dingy. And I was like, okay, great. So we get there. Patton Oswalt's eyes are just running the entire time because he's deathly allergic to cats.
Oh my gosh.
And he's spending all of his time, like he's spending all of the time that he's not in the apartment in the car, like outside.
Probably cussing this whole thing.
Meanwhile, Kevin Corrigan, he's like at a scene where he's like, you have anything he can read? I was like, oh, how about this copy of Night Nurse? Night Nurse was a comic from a DC comic from 19. It's more wholesome than it sounds. But it was a DC comic from the 1970s, or Marvel comic actually from the 1970s. And so he's like reading a copy of, if you watch it, he's reading a copy of Night Nurse, my copy of Night Nurse in my bed. And I said to him, he's like, oh, by the way, we washed the sheets before you came. And he looked up and he's like, I appreciate that. Yeah. And then the day of the shoot, one of the other people that was in the movie, she actually ran a strip club in real life. Uh-huh. And we were just like, I didn't really understand what kind of movie it was. It's got funny. It's a lot of comedic moments, but it's a drama. And right. I didn't understand that going in because somehow I just had locked into my head. Like, well, Rob's directing a comedy because he's a funny guy. Mm. No. So anyway, I was just like kind of joking and like having fun. And like, you know, the woman who played my sister-in-law, the strip club owner in real life, she's like, you're hilarious. I want to take mushrooms with you and watch fireworks. And I'm just like, that's probably the best compliment I've ever gotten in my
right.
life.
What? Was she a true New Yorker or a Jersey girl? You're not sure.
She was 100% New York.
Yeah. for a kid coming from Wisconsin, that ain't bad.
No, right? It's not bad at all. You know, I'll take it. From a I felt like I was, you know, kind of, I had gotten the blessing of an actual New Yorker at that point.
Well, so. I mean, Patton Oswalt hasn't been in my bed. I mean, nobody's been in my bed in quite a while. But I mean, that's fantastic. I had no idea. See, people that I know, no famous people, have worked with him. That's fantastic.
I haven't. It's nice. You know, we're not trading Christmas cards or anything, but it's nice to, you know, at least I can holler and be like, hey, Patton, it's me, Shugard. We're in a movie together. And it'll be like, hey, how's it going? He can't just completely ignore me. Well, he could. It's definitely his right. So
off the text line, and feel free to text us via the Civic Media app, from Waukesha down in Jeff from Shorewood, WAUK down in Waukesha. He says, to the onion dude, that's Joe Garden. He says, I'll never forget the first onion that appeared outside my math lecture in B210 of Van Vleck in Madison in 1985-ish. Still, I mean, the onion is still regarded as the gold standard for comedy, especially for people in Wisconsin, Joe.
It really is. And I'm so proud to have been a part of it. You know, it's one of those things where I don't really do comedy much anymore, but I still like, I look back on that with fondness and I'm so happy that I was able to be part of it. And not to nitpick, but it would have been 1988. And that first issue of The Onion was Lake Mendota Monster Found. And it's a picture. It's the famous Loch Ness Monster picture, but they called it Lake Mendota Monster picture. And there was a board game inside that you could play.
Really?
It was a little board primitive. Game. It grew up a lot in the interceding 40 years. So,
but still around online and
still around.
And so many people refer to it still.
Yeah, and one of the original writers for it, Christine Wentz, is now writing a book about the Onion.
Really?
And it was going to be an oral history, and now it's sort of like just kind of like talking about the history of the Onion and, you know, the influence it had and the impact and so on. And so she's a Madison resident, and I met with her a couple times, and yeah, it's exciting. I'm looking forward to the book coming out.
We're going to stay with us, Joe Garden, live from New York. We're going to come back and open up the vault, see what's in Joe's junk. You're not going to want to miss it. Stay tuned. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 10 minutes before the hour of 3 o'clock at the top of the hour. Network news followed by weather, and then our friend and colleague, Mr. Matt Flynn of Matt Flynn Direct. Do not miss it. Great analysis and perspective. Matt Flynn Direct coming up after the top of the hour. Right now, we are chatting with our friend and great Renaissance comedy writer and talent man. It is Joe Garden from New York City. Joe, we appreciate you taking time, as always, with us. And this is a great thing we've come up with now, or Chris Pauls and you came up with. And I love it because one of Joe's many things he does now is sell stuff. It's not all junk, but we've entitled this Joe's Junk. And maybe which our friend and colleague Pat Kreitlow, we were promoting this on his show earlier this morning. And he loved the kind of the double entendre of the whole thing. So he got a kick out of it. But no, Joe is not showing his junk. This is just Joe's junk. These are things that he is selling. And now, Joe, do you have an actual in-person type of rummage sale type of deal, or is this all online now, or is it a hybrid?
Well, it's a combination of things. I have a spot at an antiques mall in Kingston, New York, and I sell under secondhand Joe's.
I like that. All right.
Secondhand. So that's, hey, it's me, Secondhand Joe. I'll do flea markets occasionally because, you know, when you buy a lot of stuff, you need to, it starts to sit around for a while and you need to get rid of it fast. Mm. So I've been going to flea markets and, you know, trying to liquidate stuff. And I do eBay and I was doing Etsy, and then I was like, ugh, too much. I only have so much bandwidth. But, you know, now let me ask you a question.
Please.
What does August mean?
The dog days of August.
Dog days of August, dog days of summer, and you know what's right around the corner?
Yes.
Back to school.
Yes, absolutely. That's right.
You and if you're a parent, and a lot, you know, some of our peers are now grandparents, which is a
mind boggling to me.
Because I'm only we're only 30 years old, so that's a strange. But anyway, you don't want your kid to be picked on or made fun of when you send him to the lunchroom, right?
Right. No, of course not.
You have to get them on my eBay store right now, a beautiful Pilsner Urquell, a lovely Pilsner Urquell lunchbox.
Oh my God, it's a lunchbox.
Give your child the gift of a beer lunchbox. They'll be so cool.
That's fantastic. That's a fantastic piece.
It is a fantastic.
I haven't said that in quite a while, but go ahead.
And this one is actually full of, this I sell. I wrap boxes. I gift wrap boxes and sell them in my booth. This one is full of a lot of, and call them mystery boxes. This is full of all kinds of stuff, including a little soldier.
Nice.
A little pin I made. Who's on that pin? I don't know. Oh, it's Luke Cage, Power Man. a deck of casino cards. Mm-hmm. The Rise of Silas Lapham by William Dean Howells. What, only one copy, you say? Garfield cards. You know, it's full of a bunch of stuff.
So it's not just the Pilsner lunchbox. You get all the goodies inside with it.
You have to get that in person, but the Pilsner lunchbox is available empty.
Fantastic. All right, very good. Go ahead.
Let's say you don't have any kids, right? And you're just like, I don't have any children. I don't have any children either. I have cats that are very... I dress as children. I call them my children. And my mom is very upset at me for that.
It's fantastic.
So well, let's say you have a nice, let's say you have a den or, some sort of recreational area that needs a little bit of a dolling up. Well, I've got just the thing for you. From the Frank Frazetta Museum, I have this beautiful poster print. It's called Cat Girl. I put a little bikini on her because it's her little swimming suit, posting a swimming suit. It's a lovely like 18 by 24 print on cardstock, heavy cardstock, and you know, $20 which includes shipping in a durable tube. You can't go wrong.
Can't beat that with a stick.
You can't beat that with a stick, you know. And if you, you know, and I will, I'll throw it. You tell them you heard me on the Todd Albaugh show when you buy it. Mm-hmm. I'll throw in a little extra something. I don't know what exactly, but it'll be fun. I promise.
Yeah, that's fantastic. What else you got, Joe? We got about 3 minutes left here.
Okay, so I'm going to show you this. This is a beautiful. Speaking of art, and speaking of tasteful art that's suitable for any decor, I have this piece. I bought this at auction. I was struck by it, and I think when you see it, you'll be struck by it too. And it's not available yet for sale, but I finally did some research, found out a little bit more about it, and it is this beautiful print, or it's a beautiful lithograph by the German artist Max Beckmann.
Yes, you want to describe? Ooh. It is a lion and a lioness, shall we say, making love.
In flagrante delecto, I believe is what they one of the two.
Where did you get that?
I got it at an auction house here. I was kind of struck by it. I mean, I just want to show it one more time because I needed to pay attention to the lioness's face. She looks very displeased.
It is not going well.
Like, yuck. Right.
She met this guy at a bar in Times Square or something. I don't know.
She's like, ugh. Yeah, that's good. What have I done? It turns out I was just going to sell it either online. Jeff Perry comment. I used to dance at the name Cat Girl. More dances, more. He was an artist of some note. And so it looks like I'm not going to sell it at my booth. I'm going to try to find another auction house, and flip it. So
this is like a real piece of art, but this is not a joke. This is like an actual piece of art.
Oh yeah. I mean, I do have a lot of actual pieces of art that are, you know, some are high art, some are low art. I have, I'll just show this as well really fast. I'm not even sure what it's from, but it's a, it's clearly from some sort of children's book.
That's
It is really cool. It's a
beautiful, it's like a precursor to Dick and Jane, but like that kind of really cool.
It's Jane and Jane. Right. You can see like the ink marks where they sort of like, you know, you can see where they, you know, where they sort of had to use some white out to get rid of a stain. And, you know, it's a nice, again, though it's unsigned, so I have no idea who actually did it. I think if it was framed, I lost the frame. So any information was lost with that. Right.
Now, Joe, if people want to purchase these items, where can they find you?
They can find me on Instagram. My Instagram handle for this stuff is secondhand joes, just spelled out secondhandjoes. And if you are looking for me online, it's under the name on eBay. I sell under the name Vote Joe.
Are you launching a political career I'm not aware of? Or?
Well, this harkens back to when Conan O'Brien was leaving late night, and we were trying to get me. I was running for president of, or I was running for host of late night.
And you should have been.
What's that?
You should have been.
Well, it's too late now. I mean, now there's like 7,000 people ahead of me in line, so. What are you going to do?
You can find them at Secondhand Joe's. It's a great cadre of gifts and Joe's junk. Joe Garden, we appreciate you so very much. Always great to catch up with you. Be well, and we'll love to have you back another time.
I'd love to come back.
Joe Garden, stay tuned. Matt Flynn Direct is next. We'll see you tomorrow. This is the Todd Albaugh Show on Civic Media.